the little booklet which Lizzie and Tammy have kindly put together about the theme of fruitfulness, and Tammy has kindly printed. You should all see or be able to get a copy of. Do please take it away with you, and you'll have a reference there of what we're going to be doing over these next 3 months together. Lizzie also has, and I've forgotten one, left it at home, some resources that you might want to look at as home group leaders. If you're not in a home group, do speak to me, Lizzie or Terry, and we'll try and sort you out. But Lizzie is over there, and she'll have something for you to have a look at after church if you'd like to. Well, a very happy new year to you all. It's good to be here together and to kick off what I hope will be an exciting series together up until Easter. What a year 2015 is likely to be for us. Because sometime, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 months, you won't be sitting there. You'll be sitting in school, because I hope that things will begin to happen as regards our refurbishment in church. I'm hanging on the phone or the letter tomorrow from the registrar, hoping that he's received back our public notice and he can give us the go-ahead. But we have the refurbishment, we have looking at our walk of discipleship with Jesus, being fruitful as believers, which God calls us to, and our whole culture as a church, as hopefully after Easter, we look at the one another's in Scripture, particularly the New Testament, which encourage us as a community. Thank you, Rob. Oh, great, that's the first one, that's wonderful. Well, fruitfulness in Scripture. If you were asked what the Bible says about fruitfulness, some key passages might jump out at you and spring to mind. Galatians chapter 5, I hope might do if you know your Bibles, because chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Then John chapter 15, which I referred to in my prayer, is the vine and the branches, vital to our whole theme of being fruitful. As it happens, though, and if you have a Bible in front of you, I'm not going to stop a lot, but I'll throw lots of verses at you, so I hope it's being recorded, so those who don't catch it, or you'd like to go back over it and to check up on me, then please do. But have your Bible to hand. Because as it happens, we find fruit on the first and last pages of the Scriptures, in the Garden of Eden and in the New Jerusalem, and almost everywhere in between. Look at it more closely as we go through these next few months, and it becomes clear that God's desire for fruitfulness is as extensive, dare I say, as the gospel, with what God has done in Christ in bringing men and women back to himself and in setting in motion his plan to restore the whole of creation. Have a look for yourself. Check up on me, as I said, if you want to listen back when it's been uploaded to the website. Thank you, Rob. Firstly, we are created for fruitfulness. So it is, as we heard in our first reading, that fruitfulness begins with God himself, who creates land with the capacity to produce plants. We had daffodils in the spiritual garden in December. Work that one out. And trees which bear fruit, who blesses animals to be fruitful and multiply, and who calls on us as human beings, created in his image, thank you, Rob, to be fruitful and increase in number. That original mandate has to do with building families. It has to do with growing crops and breeding animals, essentially cultivating creation as we have it. Yet such cultivation provides the basis for the organisation, dare I say, of society, and includes, by extension, the development of culture, the development of civilization, building houses, designing clothes, writing poetry, playing chess, whatever it might be, as we represent God's rule over every activity in relationship with others, reflecting God's own creative hand. Sadly, though, as we know, as you read on in Genesis, the expectation that Adam and Eve would spread God's blessing from Eden to the whole world is completely shattered when they disobey God and they are expelled from the garden. What will God do now? Thank you, Rob. But as Genesis continues, so the promise of fruitfulness is reiterated again and again to Noah after the flood. And I'm not talking about the version that's been on at the cinemas and on DVD, but the biblical version. To Abraham and his family, where numerical growth of the people is bound up with God's covenant with them for the sake of blessing all the nations. Then after the covenant at Sinai, the promises are all linked to the people's obedience, there's a word, obedience to God in the promised land, as God's vine planted there. Psalm 80, if you want to read up on it, verses 8 to 11 in particular. Thank you, Rob. Through all of this, we see in Psalm 1, and that's a great psalm to meditate on if you want to read something after lunch today, and elsewhere too, bearing fruit becomes that kind of archetypal image of righteous living. The righteous, that is those living in covenant relationship with God, who constantly, as Psalm 1 tells us, if you've got it there, look it up, who constantly meditate on the law, on his law, are like a tree planted by a stream that produces fruit. Thank you, Rob. The tree is well located, is well planted, and is well watered, notice. Because of that, it thrives, it bears fruit in season, and doesn't wither. Psalm 1 is a tremendous psalm. I'll be referring to it next week during our service with the Archdeacon here. Alas, however, the repeated complaint of the prophets is that Israel, that is the people of Israel, as a vine or a vineyard, seem unable to bear fruit. The song of the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, thank you, Rob, is particularly poignant, recording, as it does there, God's deep sadness, deep, deep sadness that his chosen people, who had been planted, had not borne fruit, were not ultimately for the blessing of the nations. They'd only produced sour grapes. And the consequence, if you know your scriptures in the Old Testament story, is that they suffer judgment, they suffer dispersal into exile. As you can see, I'm summing up the whole Bible in about 20 minutes, but you get where I'm going with this, I hope. But even so, the language of fruitfulness is picked up again in promises of restoration back to their promised land, sometimes associated with the giving of God's Spirit. Look at Isaiah chapter 32, 15 to 17, if you're listening to this. Or again, Isaiah chapter 27, verses 1 to 6, particularly that one, provides a moving counterpart to Isaiah 5, 1 to 7, using the same language. In spite of their fruitlessness, God remains lovingly, oh so lovingly, committed to his people. And he will resume and assume responsibility for the care of his vine, watching over it, watering it, and protecting it against enemies. Why? Well, because he has large-scale plans for his vineyard, his people. Nothing less, folks, than to fill all the world with fruit. Thank you, Rob. So fruitfulness in Christ. Given that, well, it's about 5 minutes on the Old Testament, I've not done it justice, but given the rich Old Testament background, it's perhaps no surprise that Jesus uses images related to fruit and fruitfulness, to sowing and harvesting, fig trees and to vineyards. And especially evocative, well, I find it so, is his statement, "I am the true vine." and my Father is the gardener. John 15, verse 1. Thank you, Rob, for that one. You beat me to it. Watch out on the vine behind me on the communion table. Vera wondered what it was. Well, I put a pinned vine up there. It's only fake, don't worry. But watch it grow its fruit, hopefully, as the weeks go on. But it's there as a reminder that we are God's vine in this place, and he wants us to remain close to him and to abide in him and all that that means. But the upshot of that declaration of Jesus in John 15, verse 1, about I am the true vine, and his use of the whole vine image, is that he is now taking up the role God has assigned for Israel. Union with Jesus in the vine means participation in the restored end-time people of God who are called to bear fruit to God's glory. Chapter 15, verse 8 of John, if you're checking up on me. Isn't that exciting? I hope that that excites you. In chapter 15, Jesus makes it clear that it's God's purpose to do his work in the world through his people. Now, folks, that's you and me, as unlikely as that might seem if I look at myself. To do his work in his world through his people. Not only as individuals where you find yourselves on your front lines each day, but as members of a divine community or church, if you like. As branches in a vine. After Easter, as I hinted, we'll be looking at the one another's of the New Testament to build on what we're going to learn these next 3 months, to help us in our living together. It's not just Sunday turn up for an hour and a half, but in our living together, in home groups, wherever we find ourselves. Living together as his family in this place. If we belong to Jesus, as one branch sharing the very sap of the life of the vine, then we also belong to his church. We can't do it on our own. There are other branches in the vine. Burlington, Elim, ICC, and others around our town and around God's world. Even as there are many members of a body, those of us here and those who can't make it today. Or stones in a building. Or members of a family. Or citizens of a kingdom. God's purpose is that once we belong to him, we belong to his people. Do you belong to Jesus this morning, this first Sunday in this new year? If not, then think about it. If you are, then you're part of a body here. I dare say the Archdeacon will say more next week. Well, I hope he does, when he talks about the vine as we commission our 5 new elders. As we journey on through the scriptures, St. Paul, too, picks up the language of fruit at various points in his letters, where the original mandate of fruitfulness given at creation finds fulfillment in the worldwide transformation of his people, Gentile as well as Jew, a people who bear the fruit of the Spirit as a sign of the new creation. As Paul says in Galatians 5, thank you, Rob, I hope it's going to come out all right. If you can press again, fantastic. Those who walk by the Spirit and are led by the Spirit, who live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, all in Galatians 5, are no longer under the authority of the law, nor are they bound to gratify the desires of the flesh. We can beat them. That way of life marked by alienation from God, we don't want to be a part of that. An alienation from each other. We want to be a body. The vine branches grafted in to the Lord Jesus. Instead, the death and resurrection of Jesus and the giving of the Spirit, that first Pentecost and ever after, have ushered in a new era. A new creation, no less, Galatians 6, verse 15, in which the Spirit animates our relationship with God. You can't do it on your own. I can't. God's Spirit lives in us to build that relationship with Him, just as He promised through the prophets many years before. And then when writing to the Colossians, another letter, expressing thankfulness to God for their faith, love, and hope, Paul writes that the gospel is bearing fruit. Thank you, Rob. Is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Are we bearing fruit? Are we growing in Christ? Am I? It had been doing that among the Colossians. And as part of his prayer in chapter 1 of Colossians, Paul prays that they will be those who are bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Reminder for us on the screen. Those references to bearing fruit, and you're going to hear that a lot in the next few weeks, and growing are remarkably similar to the phraseology and the thought of the Genesis, part of which Philip read to us earlier. Paul appeared to be suggesting that the gospel is creating a people who now fulfill the purpose of the creation mandate. That's us. A people who are being remade in the image of our Creator. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, if you're listening to this. Amazingly, Paul sees God's originally intended design for humanity finally being completed, thank you, Rob, through the power of the gospel bearing fruit in the lives of men and women, yes, and children too. As we pray and work to see fruit in the spread of the gospel, well, I hope that's our prayer. And as we abide in the vine, thank you, Rob, bearing fruit to the glory of God, and as we seek to walk in step with God's Spirit, who does His new creation work in and through His church, through us, we look forward to that new Jerusalem, where trees will bear fruit for the healings of the nation. Echoing Ezekiel's vision of the restored temple, Ezekiel 47:1-12. John, you see, the Apostle John, sees an Eden-like river of water of life. That's what we sung that song. We probably hadn't sung for such a long while a bit earlier in our service. The river of the water of life proceeding from the throne of God and out and of the Lamb. Revelation 22. With the tree of life, notice, on both sides, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Revelation 22, verse 3. Where humans were formerly denied access to the tree of life, back to Genesis, now John's vision includes it, describes how it produces fruit every month, which renews those who eat of it. The picture John paints for us of free access to life and vitality, and don't we all need that? Is hugely significant in a world where people struggle, don't they, to overcome disease, doubt, death. Here, the natural order is wonderfully transformed, with God's promises of restoration finding their ultimate fulfillment in the renewal of the cosmos to be a place where God and people can truly dwell together. Here too, citizens of the new earth are drawn from all nations in fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, remember, itself reflecting the original blessing of fruitfulness on humanity right back at creation. Here, by God's grace, we take our place, folks, here at St. Matt's, in our parish of three churches. Are we up for it? Let's grow in Christ and be grafted to Jesus Christ, the true vine, as we look at fruitfulness over these next few weeks and months. Thank you, Rob. Fruitfulness of life and character, effective service, and prayer are part of God's purpose for his people, part of God's purpose for you and for me in 2015. But they depend on remaining or abiding in Jesus and in fellowship, yes, in fellowship with others, with our brothers and sisters here at St. Matt's and beyond. That's the best picture. Can you go back one, Rob? Sorry, to the previous one. It's the best picture I could find of front lines of a tree with its branches, of which we are going out and ministering, bearing fruit amongst the people we find ourselves this coming year. Thanks, Rob. Go back to the next one for me. Abiding in Christ and in fellowship with other believers. I've gone through an awful lot there in a very short period of time, throwing out lots of biblical quotations, hopefully showing you how fruitfulness is part of God's plan for his people, from the beginning right up until the end. Thank you, Rob. God wants us to lead a fruitful life. So to remain in Christ means, firstly, thank you, to be united with Christ. How often do you spend time in prayer? Do I spend time in prayer? Reading his word. To remain in Christ means, thank you, Rob, to be dependent on Jesus. Is he the first person you turn to when you reach a situation? When I reach a situation I can't handle on my own. To remain in Christ means to be obedient, thank you, Rob, to Christ. That's why we have a confession each week, because I know I need it, and I'm sure we all do, when we're disobedient to his will. And then finally, to lead a fruitful life and to remain in Christ, we have to continue with Jesus Christ. It's not something we lay down as we walk out of those doors. It's a 24/7 thing. As we continue to trust and obey, as we continue to abide in Jesus, to be grafted in him, so his life and his power, yes, they will sustain us to the end, whilst giving us grace and giving us power for effective Christ-like living. And doesn't our world need that? As you go out, I'm not going to give you a credit card. I'm going to give you a little card which the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity, who providing some of the home group material for us to use, I've bought some of these to give you, to remind you, along with Lizzie and Terry's booklet, of all the M's that we're going to be thinking about over these next few weeks. And a little prayer on there for you to maybe just say each day as you launch out into the unknown, that my Father will be glorified in that you bear much fruit. A little verse in Luke 2 jumped out at me yesterday. Doesn't happen very often. Luke 2, verse 52, we read in the Message version, as Jesus grew up, he matured, growing up in body and spirit, blessed by God and man. He matured, growing up in body and spirit, blessed by God and man. We folks, as we're grafted into Jesus, are called to imitate our Lord, to imitate him. So folks, as we think about being fruitful, let's mature and let's grow up in Jesus in body and in spirit.